California has been having lots of problems, but let's just start from the beginning. Why is this a bad idea? I mean, you'd think, hey, paying people more money, isn't that a good thing? Why is it a bad idea from an economist's perspective to have this jacked up minimum wage far beyond what is reasonable given the products that are being served?
Well, you know, the minimum wage kills jobs, and that's not my estimation. In fact, that was the discovery of the Labor Department back in the 1930s when the first minimum wage was instituted. You know, wages are not arbitrary. They're not, you know, based on whim. They're not based on the feeling of the owner or the business owner. They're based on actual productivity. And if you have a minimum wage or you have a forced wage that exceeds the productivity of that particular worker, you have economic costs and you have the elimination of jobs. And that's exactly what you've always seen when you see a minimum wage a number of years ago, or California, a couple of months ago, when you have a minimum wage, job losses always follow, and they have followed in California in just the last couple of months.
Mm. And to me, that's really the bottom line, Jonathan. Listen, when I'm not on the radio, my law firm is here in St. Louis. I have to run a business. I have to manage employees. I have to determine how to pay them. So I understand that personnel costs are either oftentimes, if not always, one of the greatest cost of doing business for any company. But if you look at the fast food business in particular, and California in particular, when those individuals are being paid $20 an hour, how does that impact the price of those goods and services?
Well, the goods and services go up, but even more devastatingly, Brett, the jobs and the opportunity go away. I mean, you really should call that those minimum wage increases, especially on, you know, the fast food workers, it's discrimination against low-skilled people. Businesses are forced to cut jobs to offset increased labor costs. It hurts exactly the teenagers, the young adults, people with limited experience who are just getting their foot in the door. And, you know, it's really discrimination against low-income employees, and it hurts not only them, but the job market and the economy writ large.
And to me, Jonathan, that's what's fascinating about this issue, because what is ostensibly done for benevolent reasons, I mean, we should pay more people money, let's have the government impose a minimum wage. But by doing that, a few people get extra money, and after taxes, they get almost not anything after taxes for additional money. But at the same time, that very act eliminates jobs and takes someone who was making, say, $15 an hour, now they're making $0 an hour, and that's an awful result for them.
Well, you know, the minimum wage really helps one constituency, and that is the politicians, Gavin Newsom, who get to go run out and say, you know, we raised your wage, you know, thanks to us, those evil businesses are, you know, having to pay. Covered is the reduced hours. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So what often happens if jobs aren't lost, the employers simply reduce hours, and the reduced training that comes. I mean, why is a business going to invest in training for lower wage people? They're going to look into replacing those jobs with automation or just shutting locations altogether. That's exactly what we've seen whenever we've minimum wage upped beyond what the normal market rate.
Exactly. We're talking to Jonathan Honig. He's with thecapitalistpig.com. And Jonathan, we have seen that. We've seen multiple businesses, fast food restaurants, chains that are all either reducing the number of employees or shuttering their businesses altogether. And then all of their people are out of business, out of work, going on unemployment benefits, taking money from the government that otherwise they would have been earning money. Now they're getting Social Security or unemployment benefits. But let's look at it from a different, slightly different perspective, automation. So when an employer is looking at paying $20 an hour, maybe when he was paying that person $15 an hour, it was more beneficial to have a person. But at some point, doesn't the cost of paying the employee exceed the cost of, say, putting in a kiosk or putting in an automated milkshake maker or an automated fry maker? And then that in turn also eliminates jobs, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The businesses are incentivized to invest in automation to replace these minimum wage workers when exactly that, the labor cost becomes too high, and it becomes too high totally artificially. You know, I mean, the point is that wages are not arbitrary. They're not, you know, based on, gee, if your employer is a really good guy, he'll pay you more. You know, if the job itself only produces, let's say, $13 value, you cannot pay someone $18, $19, or $25 an hour. It's a money-losing proposition, and that's exactly what's being promoted. And, you know, that I'll go back to that line from Milton Friedman, you know, no such thing as a free lunch. You know, as you force wages up artificially, you not only force people out of a job, as you pointed to, but you also force higher costs across the board. Businesses have to raise the price on goods to compensate for those higher wages. So there's no such thing as a free lunch, and truly, if the government to improve the lot of people at the lower end of the employment scale, they should work on improving the public schools and improve their skills. That's the only way you can make more money, is improving your skills. And, you know, historically, when you look at the minimum wage, people don't earn the minimum wage for very long. It's their first job, period of time. They learn the skills to move up the ladder, if you will. So it's really more of a political issue, the minimum wage.
And that's what I want to get to. That's what I want to get to, Jonathan. You touched on the exact issue that I want to discuss now, which is long before I went to law school, I delivered newspapers when I was in middle school. I worked at a barber shop and cleaned up after closing. You know, I did these really low skill or no skill jobs, but it taught me how to handle money. It taught me how to show up on time. It taught me how to deal with customers and deal with individuals. So when you're looking here at the fast food industry, which is an entry-level job position, and the result of hiking the minimum wage artificially by government fiat results in these people either losing their jobs or never getting hired to begin with, doesn't that have a cascade effect of unintended consequences impacting those individuals who are not going to have an opportunity to learn how to deal with money, who are not going to have an opportunity to understand how to show up for work on time? Isn't this fall under the law of unintended consequences?
Oh, and who knows? You know, you don't know, but who knows? We can imagine what happens to those young people. I mean, perhaps they, you know, turn to a life of crime. Perhaps they turn to, you know, illicit substances or whatnot. I mean, you know, they don't learn exactly, as you say, you know, the skills, the discipline to show up as you did. And look, I worked for Starbucks was my first job. I don't know if it was minimum wage, but it was darn near close. But as you said, I mean, I was able to, you know, get used to the workforce, learn those skills, and it's exactly what happens. I mean, the minimum wage really disproportionately hurts those low skill entry level people who are just starting out. And the irony is, businesses like McDonald's have historically been so extraordinary about not only moving people up for minimum wage, but moving them ultimately into management and to ownership. So, you know, what this is businesses being hurt by politicians. It's politicians trying to get into, you know, the good graces of the population by, you know, saying, oh, we raised your wages. What they don't see are the jobs lost, are the passed on by those artificially high wages, as you said, brought by fiat, brought by government force, not by the marketplace itself.
We're talking to Jonathan Honig. He's with CapitalistPig.com, frequent Fox News guest. And John, I always love it. Jonathan, I love it how you break down economic issues. And the other economic issue that comes to mind as a result of this artificial increase of the minimum wage. And listen, this isn't just going on in California. Obviously, Bernie Sanders wants to increase the minimum wage, I don't know, to $50 an hour. I mean, I don't know what it is, but whatever number is wrong if it's imposed by government and not the private sector. And certainly Kamala Harris is going to be making that same pitch. But here's the other question I want to ask you. Inflation. Right now, one of the greatest economic issues that we have in this country is inflation. So when you talk about government raising the minimum wage, how does that impact the costs that we all pay, that consumers pay for goods and services across the board?
It not only, you know, hikes the costs, but it reduces the opportunity. I mean, think about it. You're thinking about starting a business, and maybe you can only afford one or two employees. Increased labor.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your cost is a complete discouraging formation. So there's really nothing good economically about the minimum wage. I mean, you have to search, literally search to find economic data that supports a higher minimum wage. The only one that really helps are those politicians. They get to go out and, you know, wave their hands and have a ribbon cutting ceremony and promise that this is going to alleviate poverty. And I think that's the real kind of frustrating and sad thing is that it really has a real limited impact on poverty. I mean, this doesn't translate to lifting many families out of poverty, and especially since benefits often are reduced to programs. You know, they might have to hire you for higher wage, but they reduce your hours, they reduce your benefits, they reduce your bonus, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. So if government really wanted to help low-skilled employees, they would improve the thing that they have a monopoly over, and those are the schools, so people can actually learn higher skills and get better jobs.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I wanted to ask you that question, Jonathan, is because I think for many, I'm going to call them regular citizens, regular people who don't work in fast food. And they think, well, what does it matter to me if the government wants to impose a $20 minimum wage at McDonald's? But for regular people, when that minimum wage is imposed and the cost now of a Big Mac has to go up, the cost of coffee at Starbucks has to go up to pay these employees, now that regular Joe citizen may not have enough money to buy a refrigerator, buy a new car, buy a new house because of the inflationary impact of buying McDonald's burgers or Starbucks coffee.
Absolutely. I mean, it adds to the bottom line of all of us just trying to live our lives. And I mean, and it's not inflationary in the sense that it's not expanding the money supply as inflation really does, but it certainly, is expensive and adds to costs, and costs that have to be passed on to the consumer. So, all of us now are paying, groceries are a great example, somewhere on the order of 18 to 35% more for the same basket of groceries as we were just 3 or 4 years ago. That's serious money. And the irony is that's the most serious money for exactly those low-skilled, entry-level people that government and the minimum wage purport to want to help.
Wow.
That for them, it's that higher increase and higher cost that hurts them the most. So
you're absolutely right. That's why I love talking to you. Jonathan Honig, CapitalistPig.com. If people want to track you online, read what you have to say, listen to your insight and wisdom, how can they find you online?
Thank you so much. Well, I do manage money over at capitalistpig.com, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all the rest. The main link is capitalistpig.com, and I'm always happy to join you, Brad.
Jonathan Honig, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Anytime. Be well. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Hey, we've got more to come here on the Annie Fry Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Brad Young, 97.1 FM Talk.